Welcome to Babbling Books, a podcast about books and the authors behind them. I'm your host, Lily. You can find me at Twitter at Babbling Lily. That's Lily, L-I-L-Y. Come follow me. Also, please do subscribe or follow this podcast wherever you listen so you can get notified whenever new episodes come out. As you may have noticed, I skipped a week in putting out this podcast because of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Welcome back, folks. Today's interview is with Gabby Rivera, author of Juliet Takes a Breath. Here is Goodreads' description of Juliet Takes a Breath. Juliet Milagros Belante is leaving the Bronx and headed to Portland, Oregon. She just came out to her family and isn't sure if her mom will ever speak to her again. But Juliet has a plan, sort of, one that's going to help her figure out this whole Puerto Rican lesbian thing. She's interning with the author of her favorite book, Harlow Brisbane, the ultimate authority on feminism, women's bodies, and other gay-sounding stuff. Will Juliet be able to figure out her life over the course of one magical summer? Is that even possible? Or is she just running away from all the problems that seem too big to handle? With more questions than answers, Juliet takes on Portland, Harlow, and most importantly,
here we have Gabby Rivera, so without further ado, newly republished Juliet Takes a Breath, and the America comic book series.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about your books.
It is lovely to be here with you. Juliet Takes a Breath is the story of a 19-year-old Puerto Rican baby dyke from the Bronx. She is trying to figure out feminism, and she is trying to figure out herself. And she falls in love with a book about feminism and takes her thick, beautiful self from the Bronx to Portland, Oregon, where she has an internship with the hippie white lesbian feminist who wrote the book that she loves. And so it's just the story of, you know, leaving home and trying to figure out who you are and while making out with, like, cute people, and also wondering what it means to be a queer person of color, what it means to be Puerto Rican in the mainland, and how to navigate different histories of the United States. And to be a research nerd, right? When you like something so much, you just want to know about it. Juliet researches all sorts of women in the book, too.
Awesome. So you talked a little bit about before, like, how this is based on your own, like, childhood and friends and family. So do you want to talk about how that inspired the book?
Of course. I mean, when I was 19, I also fell in love with a book about feminism. It was a book called Cunt by Inga Muccio, and I was just scandalized by the title and everything in it, telling me about my power as a woman, and in the particular way that, you know, she talks about body parts and menstruation and just different things about, like, my body, right, as a cisgender woman that I felt connected to. And that really sparked me to go on an internship and explore all of that and try to figure out who I was. And so, yeah, that was a wild thing, right? Like, I'm from the Bronx. I'd never known what it was to be a hippie, anything. And so that experience inspired Juliet Takes a Breath.
So you talked a little bit also before about how you reached out when you first published to, like, LGBTQ centers and a lot of different people. And so a lot of the things that we're talking about right now are queer representation and, like, media, or at least I am. So is that something that you had in your mind when you wrote it? Or did you, were you like, I'm going to write about someone who's just like me, who's queer, who's just trying to figure out her identity? Or was that something that you were like, oh, I want other queer people to see, or other queer people of color to see themselves in her?
Sure. I mean, well, primarily I'm always writing for queer kids of color, right? Like, that's just my lane and the community that I love so much. And so when I was writing Juliet, I was just mostly trying to write an authentic story about a young person, right? Like, yes, her identities, her queerness, her Latinaness, her, you know, body positivity, all of those things are important. But essentially, I wanted to make sure that Juliet Milagros Palante was someone you could see yourself being friends with. You could see yourself in her, that she's your little cousin, that she's somebody you want to love and protect, you know? So that kind of, it wasn't just representation, like, oh, I'm going to make sure that she's gay and she's this. It was like, not only do I want it to be representative, but I want it to feel gentle and loving and like, you know her. Yeah.
So do you have any writing stuff in the works that are somewhat related to Juliet Takes a Breath or Whole Nother Ventures or anything similar or not similar?
Well, you know, I'm definitely writing all the time. So as you said, I first Latina to write for Marvel Comics. So we've got the two volumes of, we've got America 1, The Life and Times of America Chavez, and then volume 2, Fast and Fuertona. So those you can already get. I'm also working on a new comic series with Boom Studios called BB Free. And it's just basically about a 15-year-old girl who might be the second coming of Mother Nature.
That sounds really exciting. So what was it like getting this book published? Because I cannot think of another book off the top of my head that's about like a queer Latina girl in the New York City. So what was it like that having such a unique book, like putting out into the world?
Well, I mean, it's been wonderful that Juliet's story has brought a lot of attention our way. So it has been less about like pitching and trying to find some place for her to live and more like me being able to sit back and be like, oh, folks are reaching, you know, like Penguin Random House reached out and wanted to republish. And what was the question again?
What was it like getting such
And so originally I like basically wrote the book and then I got a indie print on demand publisher deal. And so that worked well enough for the book to at least get out into the world, right? It may not have been in stores, but you could at least buy it online. And that was rooted in me doing open mics and sharing my work and being in writer's circles. So there was like a lot of hustle around it getting published. And then once we were indie published, within a year, Penguin Random House was like, oh, hey, we've heard about this book. Roxanne Gay called it fucking outstanding. Want to be republished? And I was like, yes, of course. Oh, my God. I want everybody. I want all the young people and all the older queers like myself and just everyone. Everybody loves somebody who's queer. That's the thing. Everybody loves somebody who's trans. Like, everybody loves somebody who's non-binary. You know your people. And there's this myth that, like, gay people and gender non-conforming folks, we're only in the cities. But no, we're everywhere. So Juliet Takes a Breath is a book that's for everyone.
So I had a question in mind and it, like, left. But, oh, so what is it like to have Roxanne Gay call your book fucking outstanding?
Yo, it's wild. Like, the day that she... So she did, like, 5 tweets about the book when it was first published in, like, 2016, okay? And those 5 tweets, my phone was blowing up. And I was like, what's going on? People are like, yo, Gary, Roxanne Gay's talking about your book. And I was like, no, there's not. She totally did. And she gave a beautiful... If you go to Goodreads, her review is number 1 still there. And she just gave the Juliet some love. Like, honestly, she gave Juliet some love, and that love from her has, you know, put more beautiful air under Juliet's wings, right? So now other people are paying attention and taking notice, and, like, to have those 2 words fucking outstanding on the cover from her, I mean, what better recommendation, right? Like, and I'm going to be in conversation with her in Boston. So she's going to be there talking to me about Juliet. It's wild, y'all.
That's so, wow. Listen,
I got to say, do whatever the hell you want with your life and do the things that you love, because abundant energy and magic will come your way.
Wait, what? What did it say? It says we love this, but we are closing. You see, I have 3 minutes left. We have 3 minutes left. Okay, cool. So, speaking of authors like Roxanne Gay, who would you invite, like, over? Who would you have a dinner party with? Like, who do you want to talk to that you either have already gotten a chance to talk to or would, in your wildest dreams, would like to sit down over coffee with?
With writers and stuff?
Yeah, with writers.
Well, I wish I could sit down and talk to Octavia Butler for sure. And then, yo, like, literally, I'm about to go on my first book tour, and everybody on the book tour is like a dream, right? There's a new book called The Stars and the Blackness Between Them by Junauda Petrus. That book is exquisite, revolutionary, right? Liz Acevedo, who did Poet X, another brilliant writer, is going to be in conversation with me. Roxanne Gay, T. Franklin, who did Bingo Love. Like, I mean, I got writers for days. Like, there is an incredible crop of women, queer people of color, and just gangly, nerdy humans writing books that are really fun and interesting.
Could you say hi to Elizabeth Acevedo for me?
Yes. Yes, I will. I will put the word out. Give me that business card. I'll send her your business card.
Thank you. So what were some things that you came across while writing the book, like even before it got published or even before, that were just like some struggles where you were like I am at the moment, like, I want to toss my computer in the ocean. I hate this. Like, what were some struggles and how did you deal with them?
Listen, I had real life struggles. I was unemployed. I had been laid off. My best friend passed away. I was going through a really bad breakup. Like, I, you know, was struggling. Like, I was going from long hair and nails to, like, presenting more butch, and people were treating me differently, and different job opportunities were being close to me, and I just felt like there was no room for me in the world. Like, I wasn't sure what I was going to do with myself. What was the question again?
Did you have any troubles with writing? Yeah.
So there I am. I have, like, no money. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with my life. But, and in all that struggle, my parents, especially my mom, she, like, kept her love on the table and just always was like, finish your book. Like, people tell these stories about, like, ethnic parents being like, oh, you can only get a job as a doctor or a lawyer. And, like, a lot of that's true. But my parents were like, we want you to be happy. We want you to thrive. Finish this book. You've always been a writer. And so I'm thankful that I, in the middle of everything, in the middle of death and breakup and no money and all that sort of stuff, I still had a, like, house to sit in and a place to write my book and people that encouraged me. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I have to find this. I'm holding it. Okay. I'm not used to this.
Thank you very much to Gabby Rivera for this interview and being a really amazing and nice person. Gabby's website is gabbyrivera.com. Rivera is spelled R-I-V-E-R-A, and she is Quirky Rican on Twitter. Go check her out and follow her. Thank you to Oblong Books and Music in Rhinebeck, New York, for hosting this interview. Oblong is an independent bookstore, and you can find them at oblongbooks.com. Please order Juliet Takes a Breath from your local independent bookstore or Barnes & Noble. It's fresh, clear, and unapologetic, and really, really good. Thanks for listening to Babbling Books. I'm glad you joined me.